Good afternoon. My name is Zandile Gobe, and I'll be chairing the last session for today. Our first presentation is the feedback from the CSI committee. The CSI subcommittee will provide a short update on the progress for experience on new generation products for South Africa and Namibia. This will include a brief overview of the processes put in place to speed up the data collection in the future and a summary of the data collected to date. The same team will also provide feedback on the society's COVID-19 deaths dashboard, which provides monthly data on COVID-19 and excess deaths experience on new generation products in South Africa. Our speakers, I'll introduce them. Gwep is actually my colleague at Genry. Gwep is an actuary in Genry's research and analytics team. After a stint as a consultant in the damages industry, he moved on to the reinsurance life pricing, specializing in data and analytics. He currently works in a team responsible for multiple regions, including Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the Caribbean, UK, Ireland, and South Africa. Bryce Celis, she was also my colleague a few years ago when I worked for an insurer. Bryce is a head of actuarial and the chief pricing actuary at SCORE, where she is responsible for leading the reinsurance pricing and reserving activities for all lines of the life insurance business. She's also the current chair of ASSA's CSI committee. Over to you guys.
Thank you, Zandi. Just want to figure out the clickers as well. Thank you for being here and staying for the last session. As Andy said, we'll be giving a bit of an update on what the CSI committee has been doing, specifically with regards to the new gen mortality experience investigation and then also the COVID dashboard. So what we'll cover is... get it right. Longer. Okay. So what we'll cover is a bit of a history on the mortality experience studies that we've done in South Africa. We look at what we're currently doing, and we look at what is possible for the future. We'll give a bit of an update on the progress on the current study, and then we'll also look into how we plan to future-proof it. And then Bryce will give an update on the ASSA COVID dashboard. Okay. Are we moving? Oof. Okay. So what have we done in the past? We've graduated two mortality tables in South Africa based on the life insurance mortality experience. The one was SA 5662, and then the one that I hope everybody know about is the SA 8590. So that's been quite a time since then. The experience investigation that we've done after SA 8519 has been published in 1994, the first one. That was 87 till 1990. Then 2 years later, 1996, that was for the period 1991 to 1994. Then a bit later, 2001, 1995 till 1998. And then quite a gap to 2010, with 1999 to 2002. And then again, quite a gap to 2020, where we looked at 2003 to 2013. It must be noted that that last one included the new gen mortality, which I think everybody know now what that is after this morning's debate, and that's kind of when it started. So those, you know, from 2003 onward, these are risk-only products. Okay, let's it's obviously to see that, you know, we really want to do these investigations more often. A 10-year time period is quite a long time, and there's a lot of issues that are associated with that kind of length of period between these dates. But let's look at what we actually did in 2020. Here we go. So we had really good participation from the industry with all the main players contributing. We saw 11 million life years of exposure and 23,000 deaths, which is really good. Oh, can you not hear? Okay. This one, and then do that on there. Online guys aren't here. Okay, sorry. I was. Sorry, you've missed a bit, but it should be fine. Okay, so what we
We've got good participation, we had quite a bit of lives, quite a bit of deaths, and then what we actually show in these reports are exposure by different rating factors, claim numbers by different rating factors, the crude mortality rate over some of these rating factors, and then we also compare it against SA 8590. Okay, now over to the current study that we are busy with. We kept the scope very much the same as the study published in 2020, but we did extend the data, obviously. We also decided to keep in the past data that we had. So we decided to study over 2003 till 2018, you know, for obvious reasons, give more credibility, longer time frame. But we, as I said earlier, we want to do this more often. And what we identified is that to do it more often, we need to move away from the committee members doing it on their personal computers at home type of thing. Not that that happened, but you know, we had to standardize it, make sure that the data is kept in a secure place, make sure that the record the process, and enable us to do this more frequently. And we decided to contract a consulting company to help us with part of this process. So the consulting company is in charge of data submissions, of some of the initial checks, and then ingestion of data, and storage of the data, and they also provide the system for coding and the storage of the data, and there's also some anonymization that happened there. Then the committee members, we do further checks and manipulations, we write code to do exposure calculations and claims and so on, we create a dashboard, we do the checks, and we publish the report. That sounds very simple. What we're also doing is we're doing an investigation for Namibia. So the Society of Actuaries of Namibia approached us and asked us for help. They also need an investigation. And that study is underway alongside South Africa. And it isn't a lot of extra work. A lot of the data comes from the same places, so it made sense for us to help them. Okay. Future mortality experience study. So as mentioned now a few times, we want to do it more frequently and with less effort. But we also want to consider if we can expand the scope of these studies. And I thought it useful to look at a few of other regions with similar markets to see how they are using their experience studies. So we're looking at Australia, Canada, and the UK. And they actually do annual experience investigations very much similar to the ones that we currently busy with. The participation in all of these markets are very high. In Australia, it's actually it's mostly voluntary, but in Australia, it's strongly encouraged by the regulator. Most of the work is done by consultants in these regions, though. So in Australia, all of the work is done. In Canada and the UK, they outsource most of the work to the consultants, and then the professional committee members have more of an oversight role in Canada and the UK. I'm not sure what's done in Australia. The access to these studies are, for Australia and for the UK, you have to pay to access them. And in Australia, the cost is quite high. In the UK, I believe it's a bit more modest. In Canada, they produce these for everybody's got access, and there's no cost to it. And then another interesting thing is if people have access to kind of the aggregated underlying data, and that isn't the case in Australia. At Canada, you can request the data and have access to it to do your own modeling on it. And in UK, only the committee members have access to it to do reasonability checks and write the reports. And then finally, mortality table graduation. So as you would expect, they do it much more often than we do. Looking at this, about every 8 to 15 years. What they do is they look at the experience, like we would look at compared to 85-90, and then if the mortality changed substantially over time, they would kick off another graduation exercise. Okay. Where are we going next? Oh, it is the wrong button. There's two green ones in my defense. Maybe I've been lasering someone. So how useful are these studies across the market, right? And this slide was needed before Ronald's presentation this morning, but it's maybe not needed anymore. These studies are used extensively in some of these markets. There's a large credibility aspect that's added. It helps the industries to understand complicated experience. We've talked about mortality improvements this morning. Pricing complex product options and features is very topical. Example, in Canada, you've got term 10 and 20 products, and there's guaranteed conversion options after those times, and that is there's extreme anti-selection on those kind of things. So it's important for the industry to be able to aggregate data and understand those trends. Then comparison against the market, benchmarking, assumption setting, all of those things are very valuable. So there's a lot of possibilities for South Africa and for us to take this further and do more on it, and I've listed just a few things. We obviously would like to graduate another table. I think it would be nice. It's been a while. We can investigate some socioeconomic class creep. It's also quite topical at the moment. Investigate mortality improvements, deteriorations, expand on rating factors or product features, and also, you know, looking at the pandemic experience. Okay. Again, the long one. Okay. So the current study that we've been doing, what is the progress? So we're a committee of, it used to be six, but unfortunately recently only five, and made up of reinsurers and academics, and we have been working quite hard on this for the last 2 years. We've been meeting weekly about. We've made progress. The data of the previous study needed to be reprocessed. A lot of it wasn't available anymore, so we needed to upload that again. That has been uploaded and processed. Same with the new data. We've developed the code, we've checked it, and it's stored. And then we've done reasonability checks, which I'll go into now. And then we're underway with the methodology documentations, the checks, and sorting out all the issues. As part of our checks, we did a comparison against the previous study that was published in 2020, and we looked at the same results and obviously wanted consistency there, but the claims and exposures did not always reconcile. Now, there's numerous reasons for that. I've listed a few of the issues that we saw, but the overarching issue relates mainly to that participant system changes over time and the associated difficulties to extract all data in a consistent manner. I think everybody can understand that there's a few issues that can arise. Oh! I didn't go across. Sorry. There we go. I'll leave you with that a bit. Okay. Where are we now? So we mostly resolved the data issues, and it has been reprocessed. It's been quite a long and tedious process and required a lot of effort. But we do urge prioritization for participants to help just resolve the final small things. We also urge participants to make sure that the systems, the processes that they've designed now are stored, checked, and kept robust over time so that we can reproduce this data. We've had a bit of teething problems just to coordinate between all parties, but hopefully that's also something that we've dealt with, and in future studies will not be issues. And then we really want to thank everybody that's been helping us with this. There's a lot of time that's gone into it. Okay, so documentation and future-proofing. We believe that it will be much more easier to do these studies in the future. We've got established data extraction procedures at the participants. They will hope to do regular data updates that keep these extractions, processes up to date. We've got automated data ingestion procedures at the consultants, we've stored the code, we've got standard software, and we're documenting everything on Azure SharePoint site. Okay, so assuming that the current checks are final, these are the steps that remain for the committee to do. We need to just rerun the final things. We need to get sign off on participants, we need to compile the final report and circulate to stakeholders for comment, and then finalize all the documentation and to publish. And we really aim to do this before the convention so that we can show you some numbers. We'll be excited to do that. But there is a preview. Disclaimer that these graphs will change. The extra data that we've pulled in isn't pulled in yet, that we need to update hasn't been implemented yet. But we can see that there's 22 million life years of exposures, 53,000 claims at the moment. There's the graph on the left, shows the standardized ultimate force of mortality by gender over ages. And you can see for male and females, and it goes in the right directions. Then on the right-hand side, there's an AVCE by calendar year graph, comparison against 85-90, also for male and females. Now, the females graph looks interesting, and it seems that female experiences are deteriorating. There's a few reasons for that not to be true. We still have to investigate it, but keep in mind things like the 85-90 was a male table. This is a new book of business starting in 2003, so there's a durational effect in there and so on. But again, the things that Ronald showed this morning was also interesting, so we'll investigate this a bit more and get to hopefully address some of these things in our reports. And that's for me. Over to Bryce.
Thanks, Corp. Great, so I'm Bryce, and I'm just going to give you really a really very brief update on ASSA's COVID dashboard, and then maybe share some of the new initiatives that the CSI committee is currently looking at. So for those of you who haven't been made aware of the COVID dashboard or haven't yet seen it, it's produced by the CSI committee on behalf of ASSA, and it is available to everyone on the ASSA's website, and you can just click in there and register. And what we really tried to do was provide estimates of the excess mortality that's been experienced during the COVID-19 pandemic for South African fully underwritten life insurance mortality policies. So we based it on a number of lives basis, so it looks at exposure from a lives and a claims perspective rather than a total sum assured basis. And the data that's currently in the dashboard runs from March 2020 until December 2022. In the dashboard, we've also included an expected benchmark, which is effectively the expected annualized mortality based on 2018 and 2019 data, and we also show a bit of a confidence interval around us to get a good expectation of what we would expect the mean to have been over this period if it weren't for the pandemic. So we will keep updating the dashboard for the rest of this year, and then at the end of the year we'll really revisit if it is still useful and if it is still worth producing. So hopefully there'll be new data uploaded soon, but for now it's up to December 2022. So just to give you a high-level feel of the dashboard and some of the data that lies behind the graphs that you'll see there, there's on average about 2 million monthly policies that are shown from an exposure perspective. We've got a total of 34,206 claims, and of those, 4,716 have been identified as confirmed COVID claims. Overall, during the full period that's in the dashboard, the excess total mortality is looking at a rate of 2.13. And in the dashboard, you can really go into different types of graphs. You can toggle between different types of sub-cohorts, between age and genders, and you can also extract the data to do a lot of cool graphs if you wish to do so. So maybe to just highlight one of the main graphs that you'll see in the dashboard, which is effectively the total mortality shown over the pandemic period. And here again, we do show the expected mean mortality and that confidence interval that I mentioned. And we're all fully aware of these type of graphs, this obviously representing the insured population. But I think what's of interest for us now is sort of coming out of the pandemic, how the mortality rate is tracking against the expected mean, specifically if we zoom in on that 2022 period. So it is obviously tracking a lot closer to the mean, but I think for me what was quite interesting that it is sort of towards the higher end of the confidence interval, and for certain periods in 2022 certainly was outside of the expected confidence interval. So I really wanted to interrogate that in a little bit more detail and try and understand, you know, what age bands were driving that. So currently about 90% of the exposure comes from the age bands from 30 till 70 in the COVID dashboard. And overall, I've translated the previous graph into an effective excess mortality above the expected. So I'm ignoring the confidence intervals here and almost translating that into an excess mortality for all of the age bands. And you can see here, You can see here that it is sort of still above the expected mean, somewhere on average around 10% excess mortality for all of the data that's in the dashboard over the 2022 period. And so looking into that in a little bit more detail, and obviously as we start to break this down into different age bands, we do start to struggle with credibility, especially when we're looking at it by month. So really just take this with caution when we dig into the age bands. But I think still quite interesting to see how the different age bands kind of are tracking in terms of excess mortality. And I think from my perspective, it was a little bit unexpected compared to what I would have expected to have seen. So here we basically plot the same graph, the excess expected mortality, over the different age bands. And there's a lot going on there, but I think just to really point your attention to two main highlights. The first is that the light gray bar is the average experience from the ages 30 to 39. And I would have expected that to have sort of some of the lowest sort of excess mortality over the 2022 period. But you can really see those spikes quite severe over the pandemic period. And if you look at it, even on a confidence interval basis, it is exceeding the expected confidence interval. But we all are still talking about a low volume of claims, so that is to be taken into account, but still quite interesting to see such high excess mortality for such young age bands. And I think particularly of interest is the second highlight, which is coming from the blue graph, the 50 to 59 year age band, where it's almost the lowest experience excess mortality. And in many points during 2020 is actually tracking below the mean, i.e. that's it's showing an improvement in mortality over 2022, which was certainly unexpected for such an age band as well. So we hope to keep adding data and boost the credibility here and start analyzing over the longer period of time and into 2023. But certainly great to still keep track of this and try and understand, you know, how the experience is changing into 2023. So, yeah, just to reiterate, a huge thank you to all of our contributors and the CSI committee members who are involved in the dashboard and really do great work in helping us keep this up to date and allow us to analyze the industry experience due to COVID. So moving forward into the future, and what can you expect from the CSI committee? So we're really hard at work at the moment finalizing a number of studies. Coop mentioned the mortality investigation, and we're also busy with a critical illness investigation and a Newton study, which we hope to produce in the coming months. And great news in terms of re-energizing the lump sum disability study. It's been several years. I think the last study was also 2011 since we produced a study. So we have the data, and we're going to start analyzing it, and we'd hope to share something with the industry as we go along. And in terms of new initiatives, one of the new initiatives that we're really looking forward to perhaps starting and hoping to elicit good participation is around a funeral study. So we haven't produced a funeral study on behalf of the CSI committee previously. So we're currently in the process of engaging with many companies to see if they would be willing to participate and be part of an industry study for funeral benefit, which we think would be highly beneficial. We have had, unfortunately, a little bit of a reluctance from some of the participants that we spoke to. So if any of you are in the audience or there are hacks in the audience from any of those companies, I hope that I could nudge your arm to speak to your business counterparts and try and assist us in encouraging participation so that we can get a wide enough participation rate to make the study feasible into the future. So again, a huge thank you to everybody involved in the CSI forum and all of our initiatives. And as Coop said, we really hope to start streamlining a lot of the data processes to enable us to produce far more regular studies and add tremendous value to the industry. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Coop and Bryce. The COVID-19 task team also made reference to the dashboard and the work that you guys have done. And this was definitely a great chance for the committee to show what you guys are doing, talk about the future and the need to update more studies. And I'm sure the introduction of consultants will help with that. But we're just wondering if someone would like to join the committee, you know, how does one go about doing that, or what experience would be required?
Thanks. Yeah, so I think there's a number of ways to be involved in the committee. So from a data perspective, we are quite conscious of who we allow to see the individual contributors' data and make sure that there's comfort around who is analyzing that data. So we usually try to get reinsurers, independent consultants to use the independent data and collate it to average it. But then we're always looking for volunteers to help us put the actual final results together in terms of the report, explaining the data and all of that. So if anyone is interested in becoming a committee member, then please, you can reach out to any of us and sign up. And we always are looking for other contributors, especially on the funeral study, as I mentioned. So yeah, please also, if you haven't yet been attacked for that study, then please do reach out as well.
Questions. Are there any questions before I check if there are any questions online? Okay, online, I think this was a statement, Gwip, says just a correction. There was a graduated table called S7277 that was developed and published between the SA5662 and the SA8590 tables.
Sorry, it's not on S. Sorry, I didn't find it on S's website. It was before my time.
It's from Alexandra Rue. Peter Carswell also has a comment that says Australia also has an equivalent experience study for disability income products, looking at incidence rates and recovery rates. And then another anonymous, what is the data percentage split by gender? Nikki, I don't have access to the questions anymore.
Okay. So the question is, what is the data percentage split by gender? And does that have an implication on the credibility of the results by gender?
I think that, I'm going to go from memory now, but there was a substantial amount of both females and males. But I think we'll have to wait for the total results of the study to look at those kind of things. But it's a very good point, of course. If we do see an increasing trend in female mortality, we would really want to understand that that is really the case and to investigate that further.
Any questions here before we move on to the next presentation? Thanks, Gwip. Thanks, Bryce.